This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
CXG believes in the visual art of storytelling, whether it's through film, video, live events, or podcasts just like this one. Our mission is to connect audiences through powerful, authentic stories that leave a lasting impact. CXG is proud to support the Litter Box because great stories deserve to be seen and heard. Learn more at cxgfilms.com. Hey, Tiger fans. You know what's more frustrating than a bases-loaded double play? When your small business is striking out with technology problems. That's why our good buddy, Brett Danis, created Summit Tech Partners. Brett's a Michigan guy through and through and a lifelong Tigers fan. And Summit provides the perfect relief pitcher for your IT needs. While other services throw you generic fastballs, Brett's team will scout your business and develop a customized game plan specifically for your small business.
While you're keeping track of ERA and RBIs, Brett's team will handle your IT infrastructure. His team will monitor your systems like a hawk-eyed umpire, catching problems before they become major league disasters. Summit has a full roster of IT services that'll keep your business safe and running smoothly, so you can spend less time troubleshooting and more time watching torque bombs.
Visit homerun.support today for your free consultation.
Summit Tech Partners, where your small business is always the MVP.
You're listening to The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast, with your hosts, Chet West and Bill Patterson. Here's what's on deck for this episode.
The Pirates were in town, which is our National League rival.
Okay, game one, the pen was sensational.
Do you know what Tommy Cannelly does when he gives up a run?
I have shaved various parts of my body at different times.
I'm not feeling super optimistic about the Rays series, I think. Good afternoon and welcome to the Litter Box. It's Billy P from the D with Chet West. Chet, how you doing in Minneapolis today?
Oh, we're doing great. Our weather is getting hot up here.
It's getting hot in Chicago, too.
It's there's some sunshine. It rained for about a week straight, so things are looking up.
Okay. Yeah, we got plenty of rain as well. Hey, let's talk Tigers. And the Pirates were in town, which is our National League rival. Again, a little curious how that was set up.
But I love that you keep pulling that out. I feel like it's the most insignificant thing on the face of the earth, but you love this rivalry with them.
Well, I do because, A, it's an old team.
Yeah. You know,
they're one of the original eight National League teams. Two, I just find it really curious that baseball has these rivalries that really are
totally. They're just trying to set up a stage or something that. I do like that it is. You're right. It's an old team with history. It's like our rival could be the Marlins or something. That would be horrifying.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. So anyhow, let's talk about these games. I'll get your thoughts as we go one by one. Tuesday, the Tigers won 7-3. It was about as complete and perfect of a game as we've seen the Tigers play, especially coming off, you know, what happened Sunday against the Reds. Casey Mize was absolutely solid. The bats were alive. And we had a sighting of our guy, Javier Baez. He did it again.
First and last name came back.
Yeah, two solo dongs. We had loyal listeners texting us to say that Javier is back. And they did spell his last name correctly, which is B-A SSZ. Baz.
Is it B-A-S-S-Z? Is that how we're doing Baz?
I think that's how we're going to do it.
All right.
And Wendell Perez was also awesome. He had three RBIs. And then I thought the pen was superb after having a really lackluster weekend. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts, but on this one, I'm going to keep it short and sweet because I think Casey Mize deserves kudos. Clearly, Wenzel Perez deserves kudos, and so does Javier Baez. Outside of that, I don't have a whole lot to share with you on. We're talking Tuesday.
Okay. Game one, the pen was sensational. I'll give it that. They were great. Our guys did what they needed to do at the plate. Riley Green, 2-for-4. Perez, 2-for-4. Javier Baez, 3-for-4. I mean, they're all like McKinstry tagged a hit. Torkelson tagged a hit. You like to see that across the board. When we get to game three, I'm going to touch on a hitter that was missing almost the whole series
and suspect a little.
I'm a little suspicious of what's going on with him. But we'll get there. Let's talk about the pen for this one, because it's all the positive I'm going to have to say about the pen for this series. Lee, Canley, Hanafy were lights out. I mean, there was nothing happening with those three guys. And Casey Mize, our starting pitching once again. Pitches a very nice, gave up two runs. It's kind of like automatic. He just gives up two runs. But he goes like five or six innings, and I'm good with that. Two runs keeps us in the game. That gives us the win. I mean,
quality start.
Yeah.
That's all we can ask. All right. So I do have one for you. And this is, it's not necessarily trivia, but it's a did you know? And our loyal listeners are going to need to know this, because this has to be the oddity, not only of the week, but for the month of June. Do you know what Tommy Canley does when he gives up a run?
Does he pound his foot on the ground? I don't know. I truly don't know.
No. And this is going to, I'm going to go a little personal on this too. And okay. I'll volunteer information as well.
Does he scratch his balls?
We wish.
He might.
It's much stranger than that.
He might do that when he doesn't give up.
Entire body.
Really?
Entire body.
Baby mice and all.
Baby mice, everything.
Oh, wow.
Pits, face.
He shaves his entire body.
So
yeah, he gave penance to him. It's like penance. Is shaving your body like penance?
Yes.
Is that what he's doing?
Yeah, he's punishing himself. He's punishing himself.
Oh my God. That's interesting. I mean, I never knew this.
I've never shaved my entire body. Have you?
No, I never have. I have shaved various parts of my body at different times. I itch a lot. It really makes me itchy. I do not like, I once had my wife, when she was my girlfriend, near my back. No joke. It was.
That's when you knew it was true love.
I mean, let me tell you. You ever go scrape hair off of somebody with a washcloth and nair? It is nasty. And I can only imagine it must have been like mowing the fields or something, because I have odd amounts of back hair in odd spaces, especially my shoulders for that matter. But I cannot imagine. It was kind of uncomfortable. My back felt like itchy and rubbery. It was weird. I need the hair to feel not manly so much, but cuddly. I need the hair to feel cuddly. Cuddling myself.
I have never neared anybody's back, but I did witness it being done before spring break in the fraternity house circa.
I think that's why I did it.
1994.
Yeah.
And we had a guy in the fraternity who will remain nameless, but he was part man, part gorilla, given how hairy he was.
This is not going to help the fraternity image at all. Dudes nearing each other.
It was stinky, smelly, gross.
It is. It stinks.
Thank God we
it's
had
like burning hair.
Thank God it was the middle of a semester and we had a pledge class to clean that up, because the bathroom was a wreck. Anyhow, let's move on to game two. And I am going to give a shout out to one who's a loyal listener, Craig Melodia. He's from the Swickley area.
The Berg.
And he always calls him the Buckos. And I also want to give a shout out to someone who's no longer with us, Matt Stevens. Good friend. He would be a loyal listener, who also always called the
Pittsburgh Pirates. Two very faithful Pittsburgh fans there.
Yes. So I have to say yesterday might have been one of the oddest days of baseball, possibly in my lifetime. And possibly
it was long. It was really long.
And it led to ejections. AJ Hinch was sent. And the best comment I read or heard was maybe he just had dinner reservations with his family and wanted to get out of there.
That was the take. It was like he was done for the day. But, it was a bizarre one.
Yeah, and Don Kelly got into it with
Don Kelly. They got down in the dugout with Don Kelly.
I know. I mean, frisky. It was weird. So anyway, it opened with a rain delay, and then game one was finished. It was an 8-4 Tigers victory. Here's what we need to talk about.
Game one was a 9-2 Tigers victory. 9-2. Yeah.
And here's the thing, Skubal, we've come to expect so much of him that when he goes 5 2/3 and it looks gassed, which he was gassed at the end of that, he looked human.
People wanted to send him down yesterday,
which is absolutely ridiculous.
The fan base is stupid.
He is going to win the American League Cy Young yet again, and he is so awesome, but he did look tired. And quite frankly, when he walked more than he usually does, 3 batters, and it was pouring. It was a deluge when that happened. A couple other kudos. Javier is really, really good at shortstop and center field.
He played some very nice infield yesterday.
All right. We have a new nickname. Parker is now Green Meadows because he covers so much green in the outfield.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You're going to hear that first on the litter box. Riley Green had 4 RBIs. The Tigers tied for a Detroit Tigers team record by having 4 sack flies. There was a Dylan Smith sighting, only the 3rd. And the reason he was up is because on a doubleheader, you are allowed 27 men on the roster, and he was brought up.
And that bullpen is tapped. They needed an extra arm in there.
Completely tapped. So thank goodness for Tarek Skubal and going 5 2/3, and then thank goodness for Dylan Smith closing it out over 2 innings. I have to give one other really, really good term that anybody with the MLB Network hears this all the time, but we had an Oppo Taco by our guy Colt Keith.
Yeah.
It literally looked like it was going to be an opposite field out of play foul ball.
Yeah.
And it just cleared the wall.
Just kept going too. And like you're wondering, is it going to
awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are
good to see here? Him doing that. Good to see him going the other way.
The bullpen was not bad this day.
Game 2 wasn't bad. And by the way, though, it was 2 of the, you know, Carlos Hernandez is a new guy we picked up. Basically got him for nothing.
Oh, you're
I believe.
Stealing my thunder. Yeah, the Phillies paid him and we picked
him
up.
I was like, is he going to mention Hernandez? I thought you'd throw him in there. You threw Dylan Smith in there instead. Well, give us your thunder on Carlos Hernandez because I want to hear what you have to say about him. I thought he did pretty darn good for an inning and a 3rd.
Great. And for picking up a designated for assignment guy, he actually is the swing and miss guy that I think
that's just it.
Okay, good. We're in agreement. Awesome.
Yeah, totally.
And did you hear what the first thing he did?
Because we don't have swing and miss. We need swing and miss. He's a swing and miss guy. He throws some gas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a swing and miss guy.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, his history does not speak to this being.
I know.
But I'm going to.
This may not be long term.
Yeah. We need to enjoy it while we can.
Yeah.
The other thing is what he did when he first got to Detroit, I think, is one of the cooler things I've ever heard. He arrived Monday, and although he pitched at Comerica before, he'd really never spent any time in Detroit. So he rented a Lime scooter and just drove around.
Why wouldn't you?
Around Detroit.
Why wouldn't you? Have a couple Coney dogs,
yeah,
maybe?
Did he
get some Coney dogs for himself?
There was a Carlos Hernandez sighting at one of the Coney spots.
That's fabulous.
He also had his first Faygo.
Oh.
And apparently,
look at that.
I might be embellishing on this, but hopefully he had some better made Flamin' Hot barbecue potato chips.
I, you know what? Embellish all you want. All of that's wonderful Detroit related product there. But what I will go back to, and thank you for those facts. I'm glad he got a tour of the city before he went and pitched.
Self-guided.
Maybe he was feeling it. Maybe he was feeling it and he just came out and rolled.
He just wanted a home.
Swing and miss is our bullpen's biggest issue right now. We're very hittable. Dylan Smith came on and did a good job. He walked a guy, not going to over 2 innings. If we got a reliever who can give us 2 innings with just 1 walk, that's the only blemish. Yeah. By all means, keep the man in there.
But he is not a swing and miss guy.
Carlo, no, he's not. He's not a swing and miss guy at all. He's very much like what we already have in the pen. They throw strikes. Sometimes they're meaty. Carlos Hernandez, a little more swing and miss, but also has trouble finding the entire plate most of the time. So we'll see how he goes. I was really happy to see that, though. and see him kick right in and start contributing. Scooble's game, he did great. These people are awesome. People are like, oh, he's starting to show wear and tear. He's starting to, oh gosh, Scooble. No, he isn't. He's not. It was pouring rain at the start of that game. He was pissed because of the weather. Yes. It was pouring rain. He went 5 2/3, gave up 6 hits and 2 runs, 6 Ks. I know he had the walks, but the weather, okay? They did hit him kind of hard. A couple guys like Tommy Pham had some pretty hard hit balls. Andrew McCutchen kind of rolled Scooble yesterday. He took him to right field, took him to left field, but he's a vet. He knows how to hit. I'm not too worried about this. If this is Scooble's floor, give me a break. I mean, this would be like, if we got this result out of Flaherty, we'd be like, holy cow, that was an awesome pitching, you know, effort from Flaherty.
Wow.
I know. I dig right in. I just zinged that one right through the inside corner on you. So I am thrilled with what we got out of Scooble in an absolute deluge and an awful weather game. And I'm going to get to it after we talk about the third game, but I have some takes on Scooble Skeens. Right. We'll get to
this is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger, because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We're gonna have a whole conversation about that later on here in the pod.
Can't wait to.
All right, so game three. Bats were great. I don't have anything else to say other than Glaber was stellar. Jermaine Jones had some production there. He got a double, 2 walks. Love to see that from Jermaine. By the way, he can have that spot from Andy Ibanez all season long if he's going to keep producing
I'm so happy you brought that up, because guess what? He is what we thought Andy Ibanez would be.
Yeah.
And
they're going to put him in there against lefties, and that's going to probably be about it. Yep. Riley Green, 2 for 4. Another good game from Riley. Zach McKinstry had 2 hits. He started to look a little more like the Zach we got to know and love in the first couple months. Javier Baez had 2 more hits in this game. Dingler got a hit and scored a couple runs. I mean, Parker Meadows had a hit in this game. We're going to talk about him a little bit more in the next one, but he is, if he can start upward trajectory here, we may need him. He might be a big piece in the second half. I'm ready to get to game three if you're ready to get to game three. I just wanted to go through that real quick.
Yeah, 8-4 loss, all sorts of rain delays, some really weird ejections. We already talked about managers. Great seeing Don Kelly back at the ballpark. Andy Dierks, a former teammate of his, you know, Don Kelly being a former Tiger, he took over for Derek Shelton when Derek Shelton was fired as the Buccos/Pirates manager earlier this year. The Tigers did everything they could to battle back in this one and tie it up 4-all. Then weather happened and then the wheels fell off. I'm not very upset about it, but I know you've got some points, so I want to hear that. But I do have a diss on Comerica Park. It's looked absolutely fantastic this year. Every revision they've made, the Monument Park, the retired numbers, just everything's looked magnificent. I need you and our listeners to just check this out. There's something funky going on with the bricks behind home plate.
Really?
Look, it's like there's water damage in the bricks. In the top part looks like a healthy red brick. The bottom part looks like it was built in,
interesting,
I don't know, 1914, because I did watch the Cubs as well, and their bricks look better, given that they were built in 1914, than Comerica, which was.
I'll have to look at the bricks. I haven't been noticing. I've been noticing Paws putting his signs up behind home plate every game far.
And then
been noticing the brick.
I do have terminology for us.
Okay.
Outside of mentioning the Apo Taco, I do want to educate our listeners, because they deserve this.
Please.
What is your favorite terminology for a blooper? Meaning any type of hit that really shouldn't be a hit.
They discussed this yesterday. Duck snort. Duck snort is the, I mean, I think there's, you know, I always just like bloop, hit, whatever, but I do like the duck snort. I think that's pretty good.
I think our next wave of t-shirts or merch is going to have Duck Snort on.
Duck Snort is going to be on there.
One
yeah.
Dirks and Benetti and
a litter box t-shirt with Duck Snort on the back.
Yeah.
So I like the Duck Snort call. I like that. They talked about it yesterday. They did so this was like the longest day of baseball ever. You have a doubleheader. You have rain delays. Both games, I think, were delayed by rain. And the first game was delayed the start. And then the second game gets delayed after, what was it, the ninth, bottom of the ninth or top of the ninth inning or something. It started late and got the whole thing was just, and I think that kind of, that bought into the, or contributed to the fact that these guys were all just ready to go home. Yes. I think they were like, this has been the longest day of baseball in bad weather. And we saw it in game two. We got into that bullpen quite a bit. We did a, whatever the heck you want to call these, bullpen game, a one inning starter game, whatever it is. Tyler Holton, we need to start talking about your guy.
Mm-hmm.
He is throwing meatballs over the plate now that have no life. And I'm wondering if it's one of two things. Either he is just getting used way too much. Is it Keiter Montero pitched a very nice five innings after him yesterday.
He pitched very, very, very well.
He spotted the Pirates 3 runs in the first inning, Holton did. And he was just throwing these lifeless fastballs that were just getting pummeled. And Keiter went 5 innings, gave up 3 hits and a run, 2 walks, but 5 Ks. Can we just start Keiter? Can Keiter just lead the game off and bring Holton in like the 7th or 8th?
Yes.
I just don't like it. I'm done with it. At any rate, I've said my piece on it. Matt Gage came in, did 2/3 of an inning, walked a guy. Again, another guy, not really a swing and miss guy. Tommy Canley came in. Tommy Canley can be swing and miss, but not that much. Like, he's just not there with that anymore. He's a fine relief pitcher, but he's not the swing and miss guy. Yeah, the changeup is filthy, and that's his out pitch. And he had 2 Ks, so he did good. Vest came on. He's the closest thing we have to a swing and miss. He did great. 3 strikeouts. He did walk a guy, but 3 Ks. Gave up a hit and a walk, but then got out of it with the K'd through it. He's as close as we got to a swing and miss guy. Brant Herder.
I know.
Four runs, and it was an ugly, weird inning. Just hits through the gaps and just garbage. I mean, they didn't really hit him hard or anything. It was just sort of frustrating. But you got 6 pitchers you used in that game. Tapped out 6 pitchers.
It was awful.
Yeah. Our bullpen between Hanafy, Herder, Brebby is gone now, but he was another one of these guys. Holton, they're all just very hittable. Chase Lee has some junk because he's sidearm. Maybe he's not as hittable because of that. I don't know. But like, he's not a strikeout guy. He's not blowing guys away.
So
give me your thoughts. Go on.
Holton is where I want to start on this.
Okay.
And it echoes and resonates through the entire bullpen.
Sure.
These guys are absolutely gassed. They're absolutely taxed. And I don't want to foreshadow too much, but I have a very, very bad feeling about this weekend because they're going to a minor league park that is – I was just down in this area.
Yeah.
The heat was oppressive. They play tonight, which should give them a little bit of relief. But the next 2 games are at noon, essentially, 11 our time central.
It's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot. And unless we get good performances from Flaherty and the other starters, I am beyond concerned because this bullpen doesn't have a whole lot more to give it this time. My thought on Holton and my thought on Hanafy and Herder is this. If you give these guys an honest 4 to 5 days off and then have them pitch in high leverage situations, not low.
Sure.
I will be more inclined to agree with actually, you didn't really say anything.
We don't have swing and miss guys, and our bullpen has not been the strength it was in the first 2 months. That's all I'll say. We give a lot of kudos to them in the first 2 months.
Yeah.
They were getting used more regularly in the first 2 months, but we don't have those like killer guys that go out there and just blow batters away. They have to have their stuff. They got to have their locations. They're working in the changeups. It's just not a, we don't have anybody that throws heat in the pen.
Yeah. And the good news is that Alex Lang did. He is a swing and miss guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he had a good rehab assignment, had multiple Ks, scoreless innings.
Good.
So help is on the way.
Good.
But I do want to talk a little bit more once we wrap up the bullpen about just how frisky things got between fans and then the Pirates players.
Were I saw, their yeah. Mind. What was going on?
Tommy Pham.
Tommy Pham's a hothead. He has a long history of this.
Which is also why
he's got a long history of picking fights with his teammates, picking fights with fans. I mean, this guy's just off.
So he had three fans ejected from the expensive seats where I sat in the Padres series, where it cools you down, it heats you up. The only thing it doesn't do is protect you from the rain. So I imagine those people, whatever they paid for those, were probably a little salty at that point. I've mentioned this before. Comerica does serve high octane beers like Two Hearted Ale, which I believe is north of 7%.
Yeah. It's close.
18 innings of baseball and high octane don't go together.
I don't know. I mean, I'd like to know what they said to him to get him all riled up.
He got all riled up.
If it wasn't Tommy Pham, I'd look at the fans and be like, don't be morons. But it's Tommy Pham. They could have.
Hold on.
I mean,
the fans were also morons at the bullpen because Dennis Santana.
I did hear about,
Pirates bullpen pitchers, who's pretty well respected throughout the league and actually someone that I would.
I'll tell you what, they got a lot of guys in their bullpen I'd like to have.
They have a lot of guys in their bullpen I'd like to have. So we'll touch on that more when we get to trade deadline stuff. But they actually have swing and miss guys.
Yeah, they do. They do.
And so circling back on all this, something was said to Dennis Santana, and he even took a swipe at a fan. Basically, my stance on this is, the three games I went to at Comerica, everybody was well-behaved, respected.
Yeah.
There's no point in having – I mean, this game went on for close to 12 hours. That is too much time for alcohol to be sold to anybody. This isn't on Detroit fans. It's not on Michigan people. It's not on Pittsburgh people. It's just Major League Baseball should have called this game. What's the harm in having a tie between two teams? I know they don't like that, but like the NFL does it and it seems to work out. And
I think they got to get the games in. They're not going to call it. This is a situation where you've got, I mean, as a fan, you have to expect for them to be better. You can't not blame the fans if they're saying stupid stuff to the ball players and they're getting drunk. They don't have to get wasted over the course of a doubleheader. Now, I enjoy getting wasted during a doubleheader, and especially if it's raining, because you have to do something to handle the rain. So you take a little of that sting out of it.
Yeah.
But what else are you going to do? But I mean, have your drinks and don't yell at players who will whip your backside if that wall isn't there. At any rate, it was weird. It just showed how long a day it was. I think it just grated on everybody to a degree. Yeah. But that's all I'll say about that.
Okay. So I think we did a pretty good recap on that. Surprisingly,
I will say one thing. Can we talk about Skeens now? Are we ready to discuss him a little bit? Because we were kind of waiting for him.
Yeah.
He went six innings. He barely got out of the sixth, but he did. Three hits, two runs, five walks, nine Ks. He is a he throws the gas. He's not a thrower either. He's a pitcher for a young guy who's only in his second season. Now, granted, he's done the college deal, so he's a little older and whatnot and developed, but he's a pitcher. He's pitching out there. I actually thought it was just going to be gas, 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 gas all over. He's got some other pitches in his arsenal. He's got some great out pitches. He's got a sweeper. He's got a change that he throws. He's a good one. He's going to be a good one for a while. Generational talent, stays healthy, keeps his arm from flying off. In their pen, Ferguson, Santana, Bednar, love to have any one of those three guys in our pen.
Absolutely.
All of them excellent. If you look at their pitch charts, these guys were throwing gas, all of them, through fastballs pretty steadily, at least a third of the time to half the time. And you look at our relievers, and it's like only Vest. Everybody else, fastballs are just a sliver of their arsenal. So, I mean, that's part of it, right? You're going to blow guys away with the fastball. If you got a good enough one, you can locate it. You can put enough behind it. They could. That third game, I thought when we tied, we got back to 4-4. I was just happy we got a couple runs off Skeens. I was proud of us for getting two runs off the guy. The guy is like Scooble, basically, with his stuff. So
he's a younger version of Scooble.
Yeah, he is.
That they're very different pitchers.
They are.
But they're similar in mentality and the fact that they're both pitchers. They are not throwers.
Different styles. Yeah.
You couldn't have been more correct on that. And what I feel bad about for Paul Skeens is that he is stuck on this Pirates team that has him and some other pitchers that are, we've talked about the bullpen and throwing bouquets there. They can't hit to save their life. And it shows, to your point, how beat up the bullpen was, how bad the weather was, the fact that a team that can't hit, I mean, they're, I believe, 30 out of 30 teams in terms of just overall runs generated, any type of OPS. Mm-hmm. And it's really alarming. And again, this, when you're done about Skeens, I have one thing I want to say about this.
Yeah.
I do wish Rob Manfred, for how much he's tried to influence the game, and I can't stand the ghost runner, if you would, on second base to start extra innings. You
know,
it's not a ghost runner. It's a real human. But it's like we were playing wiffle ball in the backyard when you don't have 9-on-9.
Weird rule.
Why couldn't he have influenced so that we got Scooble Skeens and tried to pull the strings a little more? Because you know that Roger Goodell would do that. You know Vince McMahon would do that. You know Don Gerber from MLS would do that. He's not.
Dude, you're not. Here's the thing. I was kind of saying the same thing before. I'm like, I'd really love to see a Skeens-Scooble matchup. And if they can find a way to tweak this sucker so that we could have it. Two things about that. I'm actually, after the aftermath here, I'm actually glad that they were pitching in separate games. And I think it was cool that it was a doubleheader. I thought that was kind of cool. It was like you get Scooble for the, you know, the game one, you get Skeens for game two, and you can kind of focus on just them against the other team and not the battle between the two. I was really happy that they separated, but it was also a doublehead, turned out being a doubleheader back to back. So I think I would have rather. Now, if they can do Skeens versus Scooble later on, I'd love to see that too. But I kind of am glad I got to see them separate, but back to back. That was kind of cool.
Okay.
I get where you're going though. I wouldn't mind seeing them go head to head, obviously. There was some cool aspect to the fact that they were done.
Why can't the puppet master pull his strings?
I know. All right, I know.
So before we get into Tigers Rays, I do have a very important baseball announcement.
It doesn't deal
with the Tigers, but this is one of your favorite players all time, one of my favorite players all time. And I just want everybody that listens to know that Sammy Sosa is finally getting his welcome homecoming.
Is he
today
really?
At Wrigley Field after 21
Sammy.
Years.
Sammy. Sammy, so I love
second,
it.
Second inning today, Sammy Sosa will be welcome back to the friendly confines. I am going to take off my Lance Parrish jersey and my Tigers visor and head over and enjoy the revelry.
Is he still bleaching his skin? Does he still look like a clown? Look kind of like a clown.
He definitely went through a Michael Jackson phase.
Yeah. He did something.
Let's hope he's back to 1999 Sammy.
I think he was going to go into politics or something. He started like doing something weird to his appearance. That's great. I'm glad to hear Sammy's back in the house in Chicago and everything's right with the world again, as far as that goes. In regards to the follow-up to this series, you have anything else? Any other tidbits? What do you feel?
I feel very nervous to go to Florida. Yeah.
I think we need to talk about the Rays a little bit here.
So we've got Flaherty on the bump tonight. They're going at 6:05, so it's 7:05. Eastern time, 6:05 tonight. He's going up, and I kid you not, against Shane
Baz. Yeah, and he's good. By the way, he's a very good pitcher. He's had some injury issues to start his career. So he's had an on-again, off-again kind of start to his career here. but he has got stuff, and I'll be very curious to see how we handle Mr. Baz. We're going to see a Baz versus Baz battle, which is all that's fun. But we also get Ryan Pepe up tomorrow, which is worse. He's even better.
Against Sawyer Gibson Logg.
He was kind of, you know, possibly a Cy Young candidate. He's a guy that's he's been talked about quite a bit. Another good younger pitcher. And yeah, SGL's going to, I hope they just let SGL start the game. But you know we're going to get like somebody in the first inning. Who knows? I don't think there's anything left to give. And I don't know if he's going to, he may need a rest. I'm not sure what to do with him right now.
I'm not uncertain that your hypothesis is not correct. I just think that he has been so overutilized up to this point. And there's a reason they're relief pitchers. You don't think they can't pitch 180 innings or 160 innings.
Yeah, it's not what they're a great change of pace coming off of somebody else. But I don't know that you want them leading a game off against the top three in the lineup. And that's my take on it. And I feel like I beat it to death, but we're probably going to see it again tomorrow. So we'll see what happens. And then, you know,
Sunday's Mize against Little.
I don't know much about Little, but as far as Mize has been going, I'm guessing he'll go five or six innings and give up two runs.
Yeah. And
that's lovely from your number five.
I think you're correct on that. My last, and I'm going to riff on this just one more time. Yeah. Why Major League Baseball's having them start at 12:10 Saturday, Sunday is beyond me, because that is the heat of the day. And the whole point of
a night game in Tampa would be better, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, when we gain a couple degrees of I don't.
Well, at least the sun's not out.
You know, they had their first rain out in Tampa the other day.
Well, because they're
this past week. They're having the rain up. Yeah, I know.
But the whole point was they front loaded and back loaded the Rays schedule this year because of the weather. And then you put two of these. I get that it's the MLB game of the week for Saturday. So fine, if you want to flex one of them, great. But Sunday makes no sense. I get that it's a travel day, but the Tigers have Monday off, and they're the visiting team. So this is just one of those.
I'm nervous about this series, too, just because we're coming off of a gasser yesterday that was a doubleheader with rain delays. You're at the ballpark literally all day long and into the evening, and now you're going to fly down to Tampa and play a team. You know, you're going to flip right back around and do that without an off day and play a team that you're going to go up against some good pitching, and they've got some good offense, too. These guys aren't bad. Couple guys on that team. We're going to see our old buddy Christopher Morel. He plays for them. Junior Caminero, Yandy Diaz, two young, skilled players. These are to be traded because that's what the Rays do. But Curtis Meade, not a bad young player himself. Josh Lowe, he's got some pop. There's some interesting players that I'll like watching in this game, just to be like, where are they going to eventually play? The Yankees, the Dodgers. I mean, Junior Caminero is probably like my highlight. I can't wait to watch him. He's supposed to be a pretty big bat in the lineup. The only other thing I wanted to bring up was like, are we going to see Kerry Carpenter? Because by the way, he was like MIA the past 3 days.
The hamstring's bothering him. Yeah. And the other thing that I keep reading, and I know we want to do a trade deadline special, and we're also going to do a Down at the Farm special. So I'm teasing that for our listeners, but I do want to talk about this. I keep seeing his name brought up over and over again.
Is he the new Colt Keith for you right now in the trade deadline stuff? You were kind of thinking Colt might be a trade piece early in the season.
I'm all right. So if we talk about this outside of relief pitchers that have swing and miss stuff, I have done a 180 on the bats.
Yeah.
And what I'm seeing that's out there, and for our listeners that don't know our banter back and forth, Cedric Mullins has always been a joke. There's no way that the Tigers are giving up anything of any substance.
Joke now. He was your guy. You wanted him. Sed Mull. He's like everything else we have. It would be like if we went out and got,
I was trying to enunciate the joke that he's
a good fielding, middling hitter.
Yes.
Good fielding, outfielder, middling hitter. But, and I'll, since we're sort of on this topic, Colt Keith has been playing great baseball lately.
Absolutely.
He's been playing at third. He's been playing at second. He's been playing first. He's been hitting more. He had a beauty home run yesterday. Parker Meadows hit a home run this past series.
Green Meadows?
Green Pastures hit a home run this past series. So we got those two guys. I feel like we need them for the second half. We need them to keep the trajectory going. I'm going to be watching Meadows in this series to see if he can keep the ball rolling. Keith, to see if he can keep the hot streak going. And because somebody's going to fall off. Like, Gleyber may not be the same. Gleyber's like on an all-star pace right now. Guy should be the all-star starting second baseman for the all-star team. For the
he
all-star.
Is. And for listeners, you have until next Thursday to vote once.
Yes, you do. Yes.
Please vote for.
Get your votes in.
Yeah. So really quick, one thing I wanted to circle back on before we log off.
Yep.
You said there was someone that wasn't hitting earlier, probably about the 10-minute mark in the show, that you wanted to circle back to.
That's Carpenter.
Okay.
I touched on it already, but it was Carpenter. I saw him in the lineup and I'm like, and I knew he went like 0-for-5 in the first game of the doubleheader. His average is down to .254. Something's going on there. Something's happening there. You just don't hear his name. He's not popping up. And in like, you know, I think he played in one. He started one game this week, pinch hit in the first game. There's something happening. I think he's given him a little rusty,
I think the hamstring might be worse than or bothering him more than maybe he's letting on.
I think you're right on that.
He was not the one that I thought you'd bring up.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't. Who do you think I was bringing up?
He's fielding great, but Spencer Torkelson is not hitting again.
I think Torque is just going to be one of those guys. It's like a career 235 hitter. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to have some power. He's still barreling balls up. He's still ripping balls all over. He's a fly ball hitter. So he's not going to get the BABIP, right? He's not going to get the batting average on balls in play. They're going to go through the hole and things of that nature. Like he's going to be dropping them in gaps or over the fence when he connects. So I'm glad to see he's barreling. That's good.
He needs to be a Colorado Rocky is basically what I'm hearing.
He's be an incredible Colorado Rocky. Spencer Torkelson for Ryan McMahon. There's your first trade deadline play right there.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, Torque, he could be trade fodder. He's picked it up and he might be interesting to some teams. I like Torque. I love Torque. I hope we hang on to Torque. The other thing that I would touch on here would be the fact that I've lost my train of thought now. You got me all on something else, and I've lost my train of thought. I don't have anything. Right, well, it's gone.
I'll wrap up for us.
Yeah, why don't you wrap this up so we can get onto the Rays here tonight.
We're not feeling super optimistic about the Rays series. I think the Tigers take one of three. Even that, I think, is going to be gritty and a little bit gutty. Anything beyond that, I'll be surprised on.
Sure.
Still very pleased with everything this year. Don't know that a bat is absolutely necessary. I have done a 180 on that the last couple weeks. Swing and miss guys are imperative. Yep. And I would still like to see Alex Cobb pitch at least three starts this year.
I'd like to see it at some point. Reese Olson. That's what I was thinking. Reese Olson's coming back.
See?
He pitched yesterday, struck a guy out with the change. The ring finger's doing better. So we may get Reese Olson back pretty soon, which would be a nice little lift for July and the second half.
Absolutely.
We could use that definitely. The other thing that I would say to listeners, we're going to have a little trade deadline primer coming your way. We're also going to string in a little bit of a down on the farm so we can talk about the minor league and some of the minor league guys and people you may see get traded versus people that you might see the Tigers hold on to for dear life. So we'll give you a little glimpse at all that stuff in upcoming episodes. I think we're going to try and separate those from game reviews too.
Of course. So
maybe a special addendum to your listening.
More content.
Yes. More content for you.
All right. I'll sign off. We will talk to each other Sunday afternoon, evening. Go Tigers. And I hope we're wrong about this upcoming series.